welcome, friends, to this, the Wednesday morning edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, we're broadcasting live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. And we want to thank you for taking the time to be with us this morning. Hope you will be able to stay with us from start to finish as we have what I think is a very important theme and subject to cover this week on our broadcasts, which is the wrath of God. And in particular today, Pastor Steve Andrelonis and myself will be focusing on how we can be sure that we will not be the recipients of God's wrath. And can the believer have that assurance in his or her heart that they will not someday have to meet with God's wrath? So we'll talk about that and more on today's Grace Hour broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us. For those of you that are new to our program, the Grace Hour program takes a dive into the daily challenges and helps the believer learn about his or her faith in a very practical way. And we hope that this program, again, leads to that conclusion. We want you to learn a little bit more about your faith in a practical way. And, of course, I think the subject matter today is very important to all believers. And we do want to thank you ahead of time for joining us. And don't forget to subscribe to the show on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And we're just excited about the possibility of sharing these thoughts today with you from the Word of God. And joining me in the studio today, Pastor Steve Andrelonis. Typically, I think Pastor Barry Quirk is with us. Yep. He could not be here today.
Call to the bullpen.
That's right.
And the right-hander
Steve,
is here.
The right-hander is here, and he's warmed up, ready to go. And we love the baseball analogy, especially as the spring months are here and baseball is upon us tomorrow.
And if you're an Orioles fan, your team is decent. Or
that's right.
It appears to be so through the first five games.
That's
so.
Right. And tomorrow is opening day here in Baltimore.
True.
And praying for good weather so that they can get the opening day baseball game in the books. Pastor Steve, this is a fascinating subject. And I just want to start out by making this statement. You know, you hear a lot of believers talk about the finished work of Christ. Mm-hmm. And yet these same believers live with this subtle, strange fear of someday being the recipients of God's wrath. You can't have it both ways, can you? It's got to be one way or the other. Are we justified in the sight of God? Are we forgiven of all of our sins? Or is it going to be, you know, someday payday because of our sin?
I think that's a human nature. I mean, it's human nature to think that, you know, that there are just desserts. And, you know, we have to be clear that reaping what you sow is a very clear teaching in the New Testament. You know, this is Paul's phrase. You know, if you reap to the flesh, you shall sow to. If you sow to the flesh, you shall reap the products of the flesh. The carnal nature has its way of afflicting you. But I think if we, you know, we categorize this like wrath and wrath, like wrath is not an emotional reaction by the Almighty God that we serve, you know. And, you know, the wrath of God as it regards sin was poured out upon the person of Christ. That's what this whole week is about. It's a week like any other.
Right.
And we feel, as we go through the days, particularly after the Last Supper into the Garden of Gethsemane and up to Calvary, we sense the intensity of judgment and curse that Christ is bearing on his human body. Sweating great drops of blood is a really important phrase in the Bible. It's given to us by Luke, who was the beloved physician. So he understood medicine. He understood this to be some sort of magnitude of stressful reaction to human suffering that Christ was going through. So we understand that, you know, the wrath that Christ bore for the sins, you know, that's one category, you know. But, you know, God is angry with the wicked every day, and God does, you know, by truth, according to truth, God does allow consequence, you know, and that's the way I look at wrath is I forget, either it was Pastor Stevens or Pastor Schaller preached a message, wrath is the outcome of not listening to the truth. If you choose not to listen to the truth, then there is a consequence that comes upon us.
Yeah, and I think it's important that you brought that out. The laws of sowing and reaping don't disappear once you become a believer. And but you have to differentiate between reaping where you sow. And again, as a believer, if you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. That's clearly brought out. You mentioned in Galatians chapter 6. Okay, we understand that. But that's not to be interpreted as the wrath of God.
Yeah.
Because the punishment for our sin was squarely placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore the payment for our sin. So you could reap, you know, the results of poor decisions.
Yes.
But that should never be interpreted as the wrath of God or punishment for those sins, because they have been paid for. They're just merely the consequences of some poor decisions.
Yeah, that's true. We all know believers that we would like to emulate. They are peaceful in situations. I'm a nervous traveler. Anyone who travels with me knows I like to be at the airport early, and I get nervous when the flight is delayed and those kind of things. It's like, and I reap the anxiety that I allow myself. I would like to be more peaceful about it. So I've taken to sometimes carrying a book of poetry with Amy Carmichael and a smaller Bible so I can turn to the Psalms. So I've tried to direct myself away from sowing to my flesh there. So that's one kind of thing. That's a product of the curse. That's evidence of, but when we, excuse me, when we speak of like the wrath to come and the, you know, I guess that are really typified for us who know the book of Revelation in those bowls, or in the King James Version, vial judgments. The bowls are full, the bowls fill up, and then they are tipped upon the planet, you know. And at that time, you know, we as believers, and we have studied the Bible, and we take, you know, a position of God not allowing us to face that full throttle of God's heat upon the earth. But again, you got to think, you know, when we look at wrath, we got to look at wrath not as an angry emotional reaction by God, but as the consequence for ignorance of truth. The consequence for the ignorance of the truth that God declared in the garden was the sending of Adam and Eve out of the garden. And then also the cherubim guarding the way to the tree of life. All of that has big theological explanations, but we know that truth was spoken. Adam and Eve chose to ignore truth. Consequence, separation from God and his presence until the cross. And we know that, like, it wasn't until the cross that the veil was torn, and we are welcome now to go boldly before the throne of grace. And so so that's the consequence that expressed. But this this ultimate whatever, this final, what is the word? The when the heat on the frying pan is really turned up to its most intense moment, when the bowl judgments are poured out on the earth. And maybe you've done this when you've taught Revelation, but I'm always like, I always marvel and wonder at the statement, and they repented not, and they repented not, and they repented not. It's like, okay, here's another series of things, consequences, because of the way people have abused the earth and abused God's cosmic order. And, they've abused it and abused each other. And so it gets poured out. The wrath gets poured out. Now, God is slow to anger.
That's right.
It's like we would like it to be, you know, like we're like the sons of thunder. The Samaritan village says, Jesus, you can't live here. And they said, God, let's call fire down on him right now. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you're of. You know, and the bowls, I see them as like, you know, very real, you know, whatever, however they're however they are arranged in before the throne of God. But, you know, there's like, you know, you could see the angels going there and saying, we got about that much to go before we reach the tipping point, God, you know, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think there's a promise that, you know, that Paul communicates and that we are to be saved from that fearsome, fiery kind of consequential pouring out of God's wrath. And, you know, that's, I think, from studying the scriptures, I take comfort in that. And, you know, Jesus cautioned us, no man knows the hour or the day when we will be rescued from that. So, yeah. You know, there could be a lot of things happening. Jesus, you know, says a very scary thing in the, you know, before I come back, it'll be as in the days of Noah. And I'm like going, wow, 8 people got rescued. That's all that were allowed into that ark. And I'm like thinking, it could get a whole lot worse before it gets better, right?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I, again, to go back to making that, the difference between what a person may reap in terms of what they sow, those are consequences.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes when believers, and this has happened throughout the history of the church, when believers are greatly persecuted, some have misunderstood that persecution as being the wrath of God.
Yeah.
And you've got to be able to differentiate between, you know, the persecution of men and the outpouring of divine wrath against unbelieving, sinful men. And you were mentioning, of course, in the book of Revelation, talking about the tribulation period.
Yeah.
Right? That is a time when God is judging the unbelieving, Christ-rejecting world.
Yes.
After he has removed his church.
Yeah.
And in the rapture. So, again, it's completely different. And we just want people to understand when it comes to wrath, you know, that was poured out on Jesus. We're going to be celebrating, if you can say such a thing, Good Friday, the day that Christ became sin for us. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. And if God poured out his wrath once upon his son, is it possible that he could pour out his wrath again on any of those that have put their faith and trust in Christ? That's the violation of the law of double jeopardy, right?
I guess.
Can't do it.
I mean, you get to the end of John 3, you know, read all the way to the end of John 3, and John the Baptist is telling us that, you know, what does he say? He said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him.
Wow.
It's like that's our status. That's our status as people. That's the status of people who have not believed upon the Son. It's very clear. I mean, that's why the Gospels of John are so important to share. It's not the easiest book of the Gospels to read. I mean, there's a lot of imagery there, and there's, you know, but straight up, John 3 tells you a couple of things. You must be born again. The Son came for the sins of the whole world. And if you believe on the Son, that's the way to life. Believe not on the Son, and the wrath of God abides upon you. And so it's really just, you know, we need mercy. And we need to understand that mercy is an admission. It's an admission that we deserve death and judgment. And if we call upon the name of the Lord and receive his mercy, mercy must be received. I forget, there's a book I read it once a while ago, and a guy made a real good case about, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that, I think it was Illinois or Indiana, had to execute a guy who refused the pardon that was offered to him. It's like he was given a pardon, and it went all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court said, you know, mercy must be received. If he chooses not to receive the pardon, then you must execute him. And so, I mean, that's the thing. Like, wow. The wrath of God abides on us, and we must receive the pardon, the mercy. We must say, have mercy on me. Right. And because it's very clear by the end of John 3. I mean, you could just read the third chapter of John, born again, believe on the Son, or else.
There you go. Friends, we want you to know that you can weigh in, share your thoughts with us. The phone lines are open during the broadcast. You can join us and share your thoughts, ask your questions. 800-338-7060 is a toll-free number that you can dial anywhere in North America and locally in Baltimore. Dial this number, 410-483-3700. 00. Along with what you mentioned in John chapter 3 is John chapter 5, verse 24, where Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, the one that hears my word, believes on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, shall not be brought into judgment, but is already passed from death unto life." What a promise that we will not be the recipients of God's wrath.
Yeah, and I think here, let's just put the character of God and the attributes of God and something that the humanity of Christ realized. And, you know, we're going to, like you said, we're going to reflect on Good Friday, on what happened. And we have to really reflect on that moment, those moments when Christ was made sin for us and separated from all true fellowship with the Father and the Spirit that he had known forever.
Yeah.
And does God, yes, in the person of the Son, who was fully human, he understands loneliness, separation, alienation as it is in truth. How did he experience it? On the cross, when he was made sin for us. He's crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because there is no sense of his Father's presence or the Holy Spirit's presence. And that is, I think that's a very real thing we should comprehend, is that does Christ know the reality of hell in its full complement? And I think he does, because I know that they say, did he really descend into the center of the earth? I don't know that. I don't know if that's really explained to me, but I do know this, that he descended into the depths of separation and loneliness on the cross. And that when he says, like when God brokenheartedly has to say to someone, depart from me, I never knew you, it's like Jesus has a moment when he was not known by the Father and the Spirit for our sakes. You know, all of his humanity, his perfect humanity was, you know, like you said, drenched, laden with the wrath of God for those moments. And it's not, well, yeah, it was only a specific period. Okay, I'm sorry. This is my illustration for that. I use this illustration a lot. Like, I am a mother. I've lost my 2-year-old in a Walmart, and I haven't found her for a half an hour. That's a long half an hour.
Wow.
And that, yes. I mean, to be separated from the Father and the Son for whatever time period, whether it was an hour, I think it was 3 hours, because the darkness, the thick darkness was 3 hours, I think. And I like, we can make some, you know, we can make some good, like an hour for the past, an hour for the present sins, an hour for future sins. Those are all things that are just machinations on my own mind. But I'm just thinking that, you know, that separation means to me that when I come to, he has tasted the full wrath of God, the total separation of a human being from the presence of the Father and the Holy Spirit. And we should not dismiss that. Does Christ really know what it means to be in hell? And I'm saying, yes, he does. Mm. He did it. He did it once for all.
Amazing. Well, I'm also thinking, and friends, don't forget, you can join us if you feel led. Just give us a call, and we would love for you to stay on topic. Again, our theme today on today's Grace Hour broadcast this Wednesday is, you know, are we certain that we will not be the recipients of God's wrath? Well, listen to what Romans chapter 5, I'll read in verse 8. It says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were sinning, Christ died for us." And then listen to verse 9. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood." Now that's happened with each and every believer. We have been justified by his blood. It says we will be saved from any wrath that is to come through him. There you have it. I mean, in plain, simple language. And again, Paul's writing to the believers in the church at Rome, and this is what he is saying to them. You're not going to be in the place where you'll be the recipient of God's wrath because you've been justified. You cannot be justified and be the recipients of God's wrath at the same time. You cannot be justified and be condemned by God at the same time. It's got to be one or the other, and we know that God's made his choice, and his choice becomes our great blessing when, as you said earlier, when we receive it. Like that man, you know, who had to receive his pardon. What if he didn't want to receive his pardon? Well, he would have to be executed.
That's what the highest court in the land seemed to declare.
Like, incredible.
No, I mean, you know, yeah, it's a testament to justice and what is it? Free volition, human volition. It's like, you know, I mean, this is the, when we think of like wrath and love and all of these things, you know, when we think about that, what is the ultimate expression of love? It's the fact that God gave us the power to choose and the fact that we can refuse to receive that love. And you're going through Romans, you're going to get to a place in Romans where it talks about us being justified, predestinated, justified, foreknown, glorified, all of those things. But at the first part of Romans, Paul is deconstructing any idea that we might earn our way into the gracious, good favor of God.
Right.
It's like, well, I mean, that's probably because grace implies that there's, you know, that you don't need, you know, it's given to you freely. So, but we can't work our way into the good favor of God. Paul deconstructs from the world's viewpoint all the way through the Jewish viewpoint, his own people. He makes it very clear. Now, I mean, that's a question. We were given this one, a couple of questions here from the team at the Grace Hour, but like, you know, about the Jewish nation and the wrath of God. And do they are experiencing the wrath of God. Let's be honest. They are experiencing it. I mean, they have experienced it since the days of their captivity. I mean, that was an outcome when they said, "We have no king but Caesar," which I consider to be the most tragic words in the Bible. The chief priests and the scribes are shouting in John 19, "We have no king but Caesar." Fine, let Caesar be your king. We know that within a generation, Jerusalem is flattened by the Romans, and the Romans keep trying to like eradicate it, and it keeps coming back. Jerusalem keeps getting, it's there right now as a testament to the validity of the scriptures. But, you know, we have to take that. I think we have to take, you know, the chosen people of God, the people of Israel. They have a certain category of understanding. God gave them the oracles. God also brought the Savior through their bloodline. But you know, there's also other things. There's the Canaanitis, who is Rahab the harlot. There is the Moabitess, who is Ruth. She's also drawn into that. So it is a Savior for all of the world, all nations. But we do know that this people group was specifically rescued from its bondage in Egypt in order to provide us the oracles of God, you know, the written scriptures, and to demonstrate. They were called out to show God's reality, the reality of the one true God. And the fact that they, you know, that as a nation, they didn't go that way. They asked for a king. They went a different way. Then they have reaped the whirlwind. You know, we have seen, we can read through the history centuries. You know, the Jewish people have reaped the consequences. Now, that's one category of wrath. You know, now people say, well, do you think all of this people group will be welcomed into eternity at some point? I'm not sure that the scriptures are very clear on that. I don't know. What about you? I think that you have to call upon the name of the Lord to be mm-hmm. saved, and that's a truth. We know that there's a rich man in Lazarus in Luke, the Gospel of Luke, that was separated. He was a man of Israel, but he was separated from the bosom of Abraham. You know, so we know that God deals with everyone in his own way. But if the question is, like, the Jewish people have not had a comfortable existence at all since they rejected the, you know, rejected the way of God in, as a nation, as a kingdom, you know,
and now
they
discipline.
They are a Republican government, you know, I mean, not in terms of politics, but they have, this is a style of government. They have representative democracy in Israel.
And it's, and it is the discipline of God toward his chosen people, his, the chosen nation of Israel. No question about it. But that implies that he is their father and they are his children.
Exactly.
And any good father will bring discipline into the lives of his children because he cares for them. If he didn't care for Israel, well, he would have let them be destroyed and he would have perhaps started all over with another man like Abraham.
Deuteronomy, Moses said, you know, there's going to be chastening, you know, and he's explaining, he's prophesying their history. He said, when you ask for a king, and you will ask for a king, in disobedience, this is the way the king should be. But most kings will not be this way. They will multiply horses. Even your best king, multiply horses, multiply wives, and... You know, and what will happen? And so that was like, you know, I mean, when Josiah hears the words of the books of Moses and he tears his garments, there's a space of time where God gives grace. But then ultimately the Babylonians come in and they are captivity. The throne of Israel has been empty since then. So again, we are differentiating between, you know, the period of wrath and then the ultimate wrath of God, you know, and this, you know, God will ultimately judge the world for its unbelief. And that's a thing that, you know, if the people who are living on the planet understand the scriptures, will they have a love for the truth and, you know, be rescued during that period of time? I think there will be a very small remnant at that period of time that will, you know, the heat will get so hot and they will not enter into the system of, world rule that we read about there. And they will stay outside of it as best they can. And maybe you've taught Revelation. So, you know, that at some point it seems like everyone will point to Israel and say, well, you're really the problem. You've been the problem all along. And so if we just get rid of your situation, then everything will be fine. This is, you know,
it's true. It's the absolute truth. And, you know, this, when you think, go back to that principle of the tribulation period, God is going to rescue his people in the rapture. They're not going to be the recipients of it. They cannot be the recipients of his wrath. And I'm, you know, I believe based upon the scriptural premise that it's just not possible for believers to be in the tribulation period because that is a time of God's wrath being poured out upon the world. And to use that illustration, the, well, Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the judgment that was going to come upon those cities. Why? Because of their wicked sin and their rejection of anything that had to do with God. So God says he's going to make a decision to destroy those cities. But Lot and his family, or those that believe, can be rescued. But remember, when God sent those two men, they were angels in the form of men, to rescue Lot and his family, they said to Lot, while he lingered, even after he was told God is going to destroy these cities, he lingered and they said, listen, we're going to take you. They literally, physically,
by the hand,
took him and said, God cannot do a single thing until you are safely removed out of these cities. That tells me that as long as you have the presence of the church in the world, that God cannot pour out his judgment upon this Christ-rejecting, unbelieving world. And I heard this, and this is a true story, Pastor Steve. It was an airplane. It was an airplane tragedy, crash. And there were no survivors except a child. And as those people who, you know, are called upon to determine what the nature of the crash was, why did it happen? I forget when it happened or what the number of people that lost their lives was, but one, there was a child that survived. And the people that, you know, put all the pieces together as to how it happened and why it happened and how did this child survive? That was the great question that confronted them. They determined that the mother wrapped up her child and took her into her arms and leaned over and covered her so completely that she somehow survived that tragedy when everyone else perished. I think that's a beautiful picture of what Christ did for us on the cross. That judgment that he took on the cross, that was ours.
Yes.
That was intended for us. But what he did is that he took us and hid us in himself to such an extent that he became the recipient of that judgment and wrath, and it never touched us. And we will live eternally because of Christ's punishment in our place.
It's
the truth, isn't it?
It's the truth. I believe, that's, we hold that. So I think we've covered that, pretty much. We covered about, our believer state and our standing and what Christ did for us. And that, another question we're given here, comes from this, the C.S. Lewis book here, The Chronicles of Narnia. And they ask about, there's a Christ figure in that book, Aslan the Lion. And the question of them, is he safe? And no, he's not safe, but he's good. And I think this is like, when we talk about the wrath of God, it's really related to the goodness of God. Like, we are angry. We get angry if we have a brother-in-law or a sister-in-law or our brother or anyone who's decimating themselves with any kind of sinful habit, abuse, or anything like that. Anything we feel that in us. If we love them, we feel that, and we are angry with what sin does to people. And really, anything related to the wrath of God must be correlated with the fact that, why does God reveal it? Well, for the sake of his goodness, he's not like going to excuse, the sowing of unrighteousness, because he is righteous. And, the reason that Christ came and exposed himself to this was because it could not be excused. It's like it could not be excused. This was something that, however the unseen world and the demonic world understood the nature of God's wrath and judgment upon human beings, there was this, it could not be excused unless this innocent one. Now, the whole story of the one book of the Chronicles of Narnia is the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. The lion, who is innocent, puts himself in the place of a traitor, and this cracks the table of stone, the judgment. So the wrath that was supposed to be on the traitor was received by the dying lion. And so that, that's the deeper, and they say something about the deeper message or the deeper magic, is the way that C.S. Lewis puts it. There's a deeper thing that, like, that says that an innocent, a willing, innocent, offered being can receive the wrath and take it off of somebody else. And that's really the whole principle of the gospel, is
there's,
that.
Yeah, there's the message.
And John the Baptist is declaring that the guy who said, come and repent, you slimy snakes, do work fruits meet for repentance, says, believe on the Son.
Yeah.
There's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Believe on the Son and the wrath of God abides on you. There's imputation. It was put upon us because of the sin of Adam. And then as a result of the Christ and us receiving the mercy, we receive another imputation that's put upon us. I always look at those three letters in the middle of it, put. Wrath was put upon me because of the sin of Adam. I am a descendant of Adam. Therefore, wrath abides on me until I receive the mercy of God. And then he puts his righteousness upon me, and I am free and released from the consequences of the wrath of God, because it was paid once and for all.
Amen.
You did it in the Bible. It's like the Bible. We just try to read so much into the things that aren't there. If we just read it, this is just very clear. Last three verse. You receive the Son. Life is yours.
That's it.
Yeah,
it's that simple. And some people, of course, come to the conclusion, just too good to be true. Hey, we have a caller. Let's ask Aretha to join us live on the Grace Hour today. Aretha, thanks for holding on. What are your thoughts?
I am sorry. There is no...
Looks like we've lost her.
Did we lose her? We lost her. Okay.
We're not really certain what's happened there, but Aretta, if you want to reach out to us very quickly, because we're running out of time on today's broadcast. Another beautiful passage for us, Pastor Steve, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. And Paul writes and says, "For God has not appointed us to wrath, but rather to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." This is so encouraging for believers because it's a reminder to all of us that, yes, we have an appointment, but it's not with wrath.
Yeah.
Wrath has been canceled because of the cross. And I think that this is why, and we're talking about it, we're emphasizing it, we so often, well, it's Paul's message, preach the cross, Christ and Him crucified. If you don't have a gospel according to the cross, you don't have a gospel.
Yeah.
Because that's where the wrath of God, the punishment for our sins, was placed upon Christ. Therefore, God is now satisfied. His justice. And again, you're not going to have mercy without justice. Yeah. You have to have justice. And that's what the cross provided, is justice. So now God is free. His justice satisfied. He is, well, what we call in theological terms, he is a propitiated God.
Yeah.
His righteousness, his justice, his holy character and nature satisfied. Now he can turn around and freely offer salvation to anyone who will receive it and believe it.
Mm. Yeah, I think, yeah, when we understand the concept of justice served on the person of Christ, then we understand the release of God and the welcome that he can have for us to come into his presence. You know, that's just the whole thing. Yeah, you're saying it like, well, there is no, yeah, we are not appointed unto wrath because we are appointed to God because of this, you know, justice has been served. You know, it's hard for us to conceptualize that as people because we, you know, it's, you know, no pain, no gain. We just can't see it as being right. And, you know, but God is saying that, you know, there is none righteous. And again, going back to the book of Romans, there is none righteous, no, not one. This comes out of the book of Psalms. You know, there is none that does good. There is none that can meet a holy standard. But God has met the holy standard in himself all the way through. You know, in every point, every jot and tittle, the law is fulfilled. Jesus said it. I didn't come to do away with it. I came to make sure that it's all fulfilled in at least one of us. And I am one of you.
Yeah.
As a man of God,
that's right.
I am one of you. And, you know, he did it. It's, you know, that's the thing. It's like that. He did it. And it's there is no other, in all the history of world religions, there's nothing like it. Nothing
right.
like it where, you know, where the God of all grace, you know, entered humanity and was humble enough to be limited to that and humble enough to like allow himself to receive all of that rejection. You know, all of the rejection that people had rejected God with in themselves, you know, Jesus received into himself. He drank it all, drank the cup of judgment, the great cup of judgment that he was so, you know, that just shows his humanity. He was fearful of it. It was like he had faith and he had to mm-hmm. exercise faith as a man in the scriptures that he knew were written about who he was. But wow, just.
I know. It's glorious.
I mean, but I think, you know, when we say about the wrath of God, we you know, I mean, the, you know, what is, it's really just, it's just his essence, his holiness, righteousness.
Yeah.
You know, he has to express wrath. He had to express wrath on the person of Christ. He will have to express wrath and bring in a new heaven and a new earth and burn the elements here with a fire that we cannot even comprehend because it needs to be purified.
Yeah.
And if it isn't purified, then it speaks to something of less than his character. There is no.
And this is why we preach the gospel, because we want those of you that are listening today to understand this, that if you've trusted Christ, well, then, you know, there will be no punishment. There will be no wrath of God poured out upon you. But what about those who do not receive Christ? Well, there's no other option.
Yeah.
But that they would have to face the wrath of God for their sins, because what they're saying, in effect, is, I'll stand before God on the basis of my own merits.
Yeah.
Okay. But that's going to come up short. That's going to leave you lacking in the most extraordinary way. And you're going to have to pay for those sins. And if there's no payment for your sin because you've rejected Christ, then I'm sorry to say that you will be the recipient of God's wrath. And I think that this is what's so important and so vital about proclaiming the gospel. When you hear it, do not harden your heart.
Really? I'm laughing because I'm thinking there was a politician a couple years ago, and he's been a big-time politician. He was one-time mayor of New York. And he was asked a question about it. He said, I'm not really fearful about facing God. I don't think there's any question. If there's a God there, I don't think there's any question with all I've done. I'm like, okay, all right. So you got a couple of buildings named for you in downtown Baltimore. That's awesome. We're grateful for that kind of philanthropy, which comes from the word brotherly love, but do you have the agape of God upon you?
He said, I remember reading that article. He said, I'm not even going to be interviewed. I'm going to pass right through the gates. There's no question about the fact that I have been good enough. Yet the scripture says, and you quoted it a few moments ago, nobody is good. There's none that seeketh after God. And if God did not come and rescue us through his work on the cross, you and I and everyone listening today would be the recipients of God's wrath. Well, hey, Aretta is back. Let's see if we can get her live on the broadcast before we sign off today. Aretta, are you there?
Yeah, good morning, Pastor Love and Pastor Steve.
Good morning and welcome.
What a glorious subject. Okay, this one. In Revelation 1 and verse 18, it said, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of Hades and of death. So Jesus, when he died, he not only suffered the wrath of God, but he went direct into hell. And remember, he preached to the spirits in hell that he will judge them on judgment day. All who died before Jesus was crucified in hell, he went and preached to them. The scripture says that. He went and preached to the spirits in hell that they may be judged. So, and all will stand before him. The other day, this man wrote me, telling me we worship the same God. I tell him, no, I worship Jesus Christ. He asked me, why do I pray in Jesus? Because I said, Jesus died for my sins. He's the God, man. He told me God didn't have no son. I said, well, one day you will stand before him and you will bow to him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords and answer to him before he cast into the lake of fire. He stopped writing me.
Yeah.
What a blessed day. Oh, yes, Pastor Love. I testify everywhere I go, and I cannot keep my mouth quiet because, you know why? The Holy Spirit indwells me. I have the truth, I have the word, and I search the scriptures daily. So you all have a blessed day. Love you all.
Thanks so much for getting back to us, Aretta. God bless you.
Yeah, bless you.
Awesome.
Too.
Pastor Steve, tell the folks that are listening, perhaps locally and even beyond that, about the play that's happening, not tonight because of our midweek service at 7 p.m., but Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday afternoon.
Yeah, we have a play. It's really Jesus-focused about being born again. The blood of the Lamb is there, talking about the blood that was shed for us. And, that was the thing. There's a scene in the play where Moses says, you know, this is what you do. Anyone inside a home that had the blood upon it was safe. Didn't matter what they did, didn't matter what they thought, didn't matter how they felt at that point. If they were under the blood, the death passed over them. And that's, you know, pretty much, come on out, 7 o'clock on Thursday, 7 o'clock Friday, 2 o'clock matinee on Saturday. It's, you know, the play is running about a little bit over an hour. Come on out, you'll enjoy it. And I think it really drives home the point that Christ gave his life for us. You know, Christ gave his life for us, came out of the tomb. He's not there anymore. The blood of the Lamb takes away all of the sin of unrighteousness and saves us. So, and tonight, come on out, 6025 Moravia Park Drive. Be with us tonight at 7 o'clock. Hear a Bible message, sing some Bible songs, have a cup of coffee in our cafe. What's not to like about that, right?
Yeah. Have some fellowship, be with the body of Christ. And we want to, again, wrap up today's broadcast, a reminder to those of you that perhaps you've never made a decision to trust Christ. We encourage you to do that because, again, what are the options? Well, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will never perish. You will never become the recipient of God's wrath. You've already passed from death into life, and you will never, ever come into judgment. To every believer that's listening today, you know the message. There is therefore now no condemnation, nor will there ever be to those that are in Christ Jesus. But if you have not received Christ as your Savior, yes, you run the risk of facing the wrath of God. And I was looking up that word wrath in the original language, and it means anger as a state of mind. Mm. Imagine standing before God, and he has no option because you have rejected his offer of salvation through his son. He has no option but to bring judgment upon your life. You don't want that, friends. So again, from your heart, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him as your Savior. Let that blood that Pastor Steve just mentioned cover and cleanse you from all of your sins. And if you made that decision, be sure to reach out to us here at the Grace Hour and share that wonderful decision with us. Friends, thanks so much for joining us. Pastor Steve, thanks for being here today.
Yep. Awesome.
And friends, God bless you. Until tomorrow for the next live edition of the Grace Hour, we're looking forward to the Thursday edition of our broadcast. Hope you can join us then.